and that we understand your word. Let it fall on good ground. And Lord, bless us that we not only be hearers of your word, but that we be doers of your word. We ask you to bless us and keep us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand praise this morning. Well, today is the last day of our series on prayer. Now, this is not the last day we're going to pray, for we want to be known as a church that prays. So we're going to continue to pray. However, today is the last day of the series that we'll be teaching on prayer. We're starting a new series on next Sunday on worship. The whole month of August, we will be talking about worship. Just as a review, as we do every Sunday, we started this series on prayer with the topic, the recipe for prayer. The following Sunday, Pastor Ryan came and presented and answered the question, what is prayer? And then after that, we talked about a taste for prayer. Then on last Sunday, we talked about pray for rain. Today's topic, I want to talk to you briefly on the topic, prayer with purpose. Prayer with purpose. There was a story about a five-year-old boy who was an only child. He was lonely in the home, so he told his dad that he wanted to have a baby brother. Now, along with his request to his dad, he offered to do anything that he could to help. His dad, knowing that his wife was already 7 months along, he paused and thought for a moment, and he replied to his son, I'll tell you what, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee you that God will give you one. The five-year-old boy responded eagerly to his dad's challenge. He went to his bedroom early that night to start praying for a baby brother. He prayed every night for a whole month for a baby brother. But after that time, he became discouraged. He decided to check around the neighborhood with his friends and found that there was nowhere in the history of his neighborhood where anybody had prayed for a baby brother, and it happened. His friends told him, that's not the way it works. You don't just pray for a couple of months and voila, you have a baby brother. So the young boy stopped praying. A few months later, his mother went into the hospital. When she came back home, his parents called him into the room. He walked into the bedroom, not expecting to find anything. But much to his surprise, there was a bundle lying next to his mother. His dad pulled back the blanket, and there was not one baby brother, but two baby brothers. His mother had twins. The little boy's dad looked down at him and said, now, aren't you glad that you prayed? The five-year-old boy hesitated a little. Then he looked up at his dad and said, yes, I'm glad that I prayed. But aren't you glad that I quit when I did? Purpose. The definition for purpose is an intent. Or a desired result, an aim, or a goal, something that is desired to achieve, a pinpoint goal. Praying with purpose is simply praying with intent, with a goal and a desire for God to fulfill what he has already begun. Since God's work is always a continuing story, understand today that God's work and his plan is a pre-planned continuous story. It is a revolving event. It is something that is predestined. God has it all planned out and it's taking place. Our best praying is when we pray and seek to take part in God's ongoing story. Instead of using some quick fixed or set prayer and hoping for results, I want you to know that it's time, church, that we become mature in God and that we not continue to desire, as the Bible says, the milk of the Word of God, but in our prayers, it's time that we desire the meat of God. The days of us saying prayers that we prayed when we were children. Now I lay me down to sleep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That worked for the stars. That worked for the juniors. That worked for you as a child. But now it's time that we begin to pray with purpose. That we begin to pray as mature Christians and believers in God. It's time that we pray with intent, with an aim and a goal. Your prayers become a way of cooperating with God. God is the one who is orchestrating this united prayer in which we are taking part in now. He's the one that is stimulating us to pray as never before. Why is God doing that? Why is God encouraging us as a church to pray? Why is he putting it in our hearts and in our minds to pray for this during this month of July? The reason is God is about to do something amazing in this church. Now, I'm not trying to be a prophet, or I'm not trying to tell the future or even prophesy to you. I'm just telling you that the Bible lets us know that when we pray, things happen. And I want you to know today that God is encouraging us and putting it in our hearts that we pray united, that we pray as a church, because he is getting ready to do something special and something spectacular in this house. And he wants us to pray for those things before they take place. And the reason why is because when he begins to do those things, when he begins to move in this house, if we're praying for it, then it is obvious that he is the one that gets the credit and not us. That is why we can expect to believe and expect to receive things from God, because we ask God for them. God is setting us up to give us much more glory than we can ever imagine, much more blessings than we can imagine. And we receive those things through prayer. Answered prayer is a way for God to be glorified. Now understand, God does not need our prayers, but he wants us to experience the joy of working with him and bringing about new life for others. He wants us to enjoy the experience of being able to communicate with him in prayer and seeing him answer prayers. And the joy is even greater when we find that we have labored with others, when we have prayed together, seeking the fulfillment of the promises of God in our lives. But here is the question this morning, church. How can we ever desire God to answer our prayers when we don't have any expectation or purpose of what we are praying for? We must not only pray, but we must pray with hope, faith, and we must wait with expectation, looking for the answer that God has for us. Church, it's one thing just to pray a generic prayer. It's one thing to just say, God bless our church. But when you pray with purpose, when you pinpoint and you pray with intent, you ask God for a specific thing. You ask God, God, bless our leaders, bless our pastor, bless our youth department, bless our youth pastor, touch our stars. You're praying a prayer with purpose and intent. This is praying with passion. When you're seeking God for something special, when you're asking God to move in a special way, you are pinpointing and presenting your needs before the Lord. I've thought about this when I was studying this week. Our prayers should be pregnant with purpose. I looked up the definition of pregnant. And of course, I found the obvious definitions regarding a woman carrying a baby. But I found two definitions that fit how we should pray. First of all, one of the definitions for pregnant was full of meaning, highly sufficient, of great importance and potential. That's how we should pray. Our prayer should be pregnant with purpose. And I thought about a woman. When a woman is pregnant, she goes to the doctor and the doctor tells her, you're pregnant. And even in this day and time, the doctor can tell them what they're pregnant with. You're having a boy, you're having a girl, you're having twins, whatever the case might be. And then she goes home with expectations and she waits for 9 months. And she carries that baby for 9 months. And then at a particular time, it comes to be what she was promised 9 months ago. And that's the way sometimes it is with prayer. When we pray with intent, when our prayers are pregnant with purpose, we might have to carry that thing for a while. We might have to carry it for a week or 2 weeks. But I want you to know that eventually it's going to happen. You're going to give birth to the thing that God promised you. You're going to give birth to the purpose that God has called you to do. Oh, labor, I'm told, is painful. And sometimes we have to go through some pain. Sometimes you have to suffer. But I want you to know that if God said it, it's going to happen. If God says you're going to deliver that thing, you're going to deliver it. If he says you are going to be delivered from that thing, I guarantee you, you will be delivered. You see, we make a lot of decisions in life. Some are clear cut, but others not so much. But what do you do when you don't know what to do? When there's no apparent right answer and no obvious way out. When we just want what God wants, but we have no idea what that is. I want you to know today that everything that God wants for you, it's not a mystery. It is not God's desire for it to be a mystery. He has laid out the plan in his word. Nothing is a secret. Your mission in life, the reason God created you, it is not a secret. It is laid out. The will of God is not a mystery, but it is open to you in the word of God. I talked about this morning how important it is for us to follow the lead of God. And I use the analogy of the fact that I have been going somewhere driving. And I had someone following me that did not know how to get to where we were going. And as they began to follow me, I realized that I forgot that they were following me because I was going through yellow lights and I was turning at the last minute without using my turn signal, and they got lost. I want you to know that if you're following Jesus, don't worry. Every turn will be made plain. Every stop will be made plain. Your destination is plain, but you have to pray with purpose in order to find out where you're going. God does not want his will to be a mystery to us. And then we draw near to him in faith, asking him to guide us, lead us. Now, he won't write the answer in the sky or tattoo it to your forehead. But when the time is right, he'll open doors after he has even closed a few. He'll bring conversations and information about an opportunity will come your way. He'll nudge you and impress you. Your heart will be spoken to, and he will confirm within you, this is what God wants you to do. A lot of times, people just sit back and they want direction and they want to know where to go, but they don't want to open up the map that shows them where to go. You remember when, before they had navigation and before they had all that stuff, we had to use a map to get where we were going. The map was inconvenient. It folded probably about 100 times, and you open it up trying to drive, and it blocks your view, and you just... But I want you to know that that's not the way the Bible is. The Bible is an open book for you to understand and get direction to where God wants you to go. I remember times that we would stop at the gas station to get directions. And you know how it is. You pull up in the gas station and you ask the fella, I don't know what determined gas stations to be places for direction, but that's what we used to do. We pull up in the gas station, ask the attendant, how do you get to this place? And I'm driving, so he began to talk to me and say, turn left here, go down the block, turn right. And then when you get to the tree with the bird in it, turn left. You know, so we would pull out of the gas station, and I would look over at my wife, and I'd say, did you get what he was saying? And she'd say, no, he was talking to you. So I forget half of what he told me before I even got out of the parking lot. We cannot do that in our walk with Christ. He has given us direction, and we need to listen to what thus said the Lord. When we listen to the word of God and follow his direction and his guide, then we will never be lost. Whether it's prayer for help with problems, prayer for wisdom and knowledge, prayer for direction or discernment, prayer for relationships. It is good to turn to the scriptures for guidance in your prayer. Praying with purpose involves trusting God with all of your heart and not relying on your own understanding. Oh, guys, how many times have your wife said, ask for direction? And you say, I know how to get there. I know the way. I don't know about you, but every time I say that, we get lost. But all I had to do was ask for direction. But it's something about us men that we just think we know how to get there, even if we never went there before. But I want you to know, when it comes to this walk with God, we need to ask for direction. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. And letting him know that you're trusting him to make your path straight. Look at what David said in his prayer in Psalms 25, 4 through 5. He said to the Lord, show me your ways. Lord, teach me your path. Guide me in your truth. And teach me. For you are my Savior and my hope. It is in you all day long. That's how we should depend on God. We should ask him to guide us, lead us. When we pray with purpose and intent, we're praying to God for his guidance. The challenges of life can be overwhelming, and we often don't know the way out. In the face of heartbreak and disappointment, what do you do? We need to look up beyond our situations. Look to the one who can help us. The Bible says, I look to the hills from which my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. We need to search the scriptures and find the promises of God that relates to our situation and start praying them. Pray those promises, trusting God to bring them to pass in our lives. We need to learn how to pray God's promises. Church, there is nothing wrong with you reminding God what he promised you in his word. Nothing wrong in your prayers and saying, God, you told me that if I keep your commandments, I can ask anything in your name. God, you told me that I'm not the tail, I'm the head. You told me that I won't be last, I'll be first. You told me that you hear me and you answer my prayers. Now, don't get me wrong. God does not forget what he promised you, but sometimes he loves to hear that you didn't forget what he promised you. So there's nothing wrong with telling him what he promised you. In order to see fulfillment of the promises of God, we must first come to the terms of the fact that his promises are available to us. He wants to fulfill his promises in our lives. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a part. We have to pray for those fulfillments and for those promises. We need to believe his promises and confess them. I love this scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Listen to what it says. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Do you know what the word amen means? It means you agree. It means it is finished. It means yes. So the scripture is saying God promised it, and it is us, we, you and I, it is amen. It is done. It is finished. God said it. That settles it. Praying for ourselves can be powerful when we are willing to give up control. It is when I decide that I am praying because I want to be guided along the path that has meaning for his divine purpose in my life. It's always a wonderful thing to see prayer answered, to see lives changed and health restored, doors opened, finances provided. It's exciting to see how a prayer changes circumstances. But I want you to know today that prayer not only changes circumstances, but prayer changes us. We allow the Lord to deal with our lack of understanding and our self-centeredness. Many times, church, I have prayed about a personal conflict. I have prayed about a person and asked God to bless that person or help that person to understand the conflict that we had. And a lot of times, God reminds me that I am the problem. In my prayers, he reminds me that I'm the problem. I found a long time ago, and those of you that have been married for a while, you know it too. A lot of times, we are the problem. And a lot of times, conflicts and arguments can be settled when you realize that you are the problem. And every now and then, even when you don't think you're the problem, if you just break down and humble yourselves and say, "I'm sorry," a lot of times that solves the problem. But a lot of times when we pray, God will show us that we're the problem. Prayer is an act of surrender to the will of God. Not my will, but your will be done. As you pray, ask the Lord to shape you, humble you, guide you, energize you, and to use you. That is praying with purpose. When you ask God to energize you, a lot of times we need to be energized. We need like a battery. We need to be like the energizing bunny. We need to keep beating the drums of life. But a lot of times we get worn out. We get tired. It is in prayer where you plug into the charger. It is in prayer where you connect with the power of God, and it energizes you in order to drive on with God's program. If you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy to have power. Pray hardest when it is hardest to pray. I said you need to pray hardest when it is hardest to pray. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I just don't feel like praying. I'm going to be transparent. There are times when I don't feel like praying. I'm too tired to pray. How many of you have prayed all night? Well, actually, you don't pray all night. You fall asleep while you're praying. And then you wake up in the morning and say, "Amen." That's not... Huh? Am I the only one? There's a story about three preachers. They sat and discussing prayer. And they were talking about the best position to pray. While they were talking, there was a telephone repairman in the office fixing the phone. One preacher says, kneeling is definitely the best way to pray. The other said, no, I think that standing with my arms stretched out to heaven, that's when I get my best results. The other preacher said, I must say, to me, the best position of prayer is laying out face down on the floor before God. At some point, the telephone repairman couldn't take it anymore. And he interrupted the preachers and he said to them, I don't know about you, but my best praying is when I found myself hanging by my foot from a telephone pole. That is when we pray most effectively, when we find ourselves in situations that we cannot deal with. When we find ourselves in places and in circumstances that are far beyond our abilities to deliver ourselves. That is when we pray with most purpose. That is when we seek God the most, when we find that there is no other answer. But how about praying to God with purpose all the time? How about praying with God with intent all the time? The Bible lets us know that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible lets us know, because of our standing with God, that we can approach Him. We can stand in the throne room of God while in prayer, and we can talk to our daddy. We can talk to Abba. We can tell Him exactly what we need. Prayer is the only avenue to recognizing the reality of God's presence. Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonians in Thessalonians 1, 5 and 16. He said, be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. That is how you pray with purpose. Don't put the fire out. Let the fire keep burning. Add wood, add timber to the fire by praying with purpose. The purpose of prayer is to get our lives aligned with God. Jesus taught us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the most basic possible way to pray with purpose, is by letting God, or allowing God's will to be done in our lives. The psalmist writes in Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be excellent among the nations, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Prayer times are our times to be still and know who God is. If we neglect to pray with purpose, we will lose sight of who God is. Psalms 18 and 2 says, the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Isn't that beautiful? We have a rock that we can stand on. We have a rock. Your house, oh, you know the story of the wolf that went to blow down some houses. You heard that fairy tale, and houses were not built on firm foundations, and the wolf was able to huff and puff and blow down the houses. There's also a parable in the Bible that kind of speaks the same. But when you put your trust in God, when you build your spiritual house on the rock, when the winds come and the storms come, when the enemy comes to blow down your house, if your house is built on the solid rock, on the foundation of Jesus, I want you to know you're going to stand. Satan could not snatch you out of the hands of God. Once you are on the rock, you're on the rock to stay, because God has put you on a firm foundation. Moses, when he faced God at the burning bush, you know the story, he was told to take off his shoes, for the ground he stood on was holy ground. And we may wonder, as people today, as sinful people, are we permitted to come to God on holy ground? And I stop by to tell you today that every time you pray, every time you pray with purpose and intent, and every time you pray with that heart to seek God, you are standing on holy ground. You are in the presence of God. When you talk to Him, when you pray to Him, you are standing on holy ground. Moses wasn't invited to stand on holy ground because of his personal holiness, but rather because God desired to be holy through him. And that's the same reason today that you can stand on holy ground. Not because you're holy, not because you're perfect, because if it required you to be perfect to pray, then we might as well close up the prayer closet and put a padlock on it, because we wouldn't be worthy to enter. But I stop by to tell you today that because God is holy through you, you can pray to God. You can ask God for anything. The fact of the matter is, God already knows our needs before we pray. So you ask the question, then why do we need to pray? Well, let me explain. Imagine that you're in a large building, and the building is full with thousands of rooms. Inside of those rooms are all the good possibilities of your future. Inside of those rooms are job opportunities. There's a room with provisions of every kind. There's a room with guidance, a room with wisdom, a room with healing, a room with everything that you desire in life. But the problem is, all of the doors are locked, and you cannot get in. But suppose, church, you can ask for the key. And when you ask for the key with purpose, the keys will be given to you to every door. They'll be put in your hands, and you can choose to use the key or not use it. If you don't use the key, the doors won't be open to you. That is the picture of prayer. That is how prayer works. All of the things that God has for you is available to you. The keys are available to you. All you have to do is ask in prayer. Ask with purpose and intent. Now, God won't automatically do anything for us. Instead, He gives us the keys to use, which is prayer. Prayer is a privilege that God has given to us. However, if you don't use the prayer key, the door will remain closed and some of the blessings of God will not happen because you didn't open the door. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Now, I want to tell you how powerful prayer is. I said to you that if you don't use the key, some of the doors will not be open. But I want you to know that way back when you was a baby and your mama prayed for you, some of the blessings that you're receiving today is because that old mother back in the day was on her knees praying in your behalf. So some of the blessings that you receive today is because mama prayed for you, because daddy prayed for you. It's because mom and dad had you in church every Sunday and the power of God was upon you. I want you to know that prayer is powerful and it doesn't get stale. It doesn't run out. It doesn't expire like a loaf of bread. It doesn't get molded. It doesn't get old. But prayer is good today. It'll be good tomorrow. And it's always good to pray. Pray with purpose. Pray with intent. God wants you to pray. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear you pray. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Drawing near isn't in reference to distance. He's talking about drawing near to him in your heart. Nothing to do with distance. You'll find in a marriage that a husband and wife can be standing right next to each other and their hearts can be far apart. That can also happen with God. He said in the Bible, these praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They were suffering from hot lips and cold hearts. Because they talked a good talk. You know about the guy who was standing in church in the Bible, and he was praying to God in closing, and he began to tell God about himself, how good he is and what he's done in church and how many times he's given and how many times he's done this and done that. He's given God his resume of how good he is in hopes that he would impress God. But then there was that sinner that was praying next to him, and all he said to God is, I am a sinner. Save me. And I'm paraphrasing. And God said in his word that that prayer meant much more than the prayer of this church guy who was telling him how good he was. God is not impressed about how good you are. God is not impressed about what you have done. God is impressed with your heart. Amen. And when you pray with purpose, when you pray to God with purpose and you begin to seek God with purpose, that is when God will hear what you say. I say it often and I'm going to say it again. How wonderful it would be, how blessed it would be that if we as a church would just get together and begin to pray with purpose as a church, as a united church in this neighborhood. The Bible says that we as believers, we are like a light that sits on a hill. I want you to know today at Grace Community Church, you are a light that sits on J Street in Lathrop, California. And we are to let our light shine that men and women see a reality in serving a true and a living God. Oh, how wonderful it would be that when visitors come, they find us praying with purpose. They find us loving on them and showing them how much we love them because we are allowing God to shine through us to them. Let's pray with purpose. Let's begin to get a taste for prayer. Let's find out the recipe first for prayer and then get a taste for that recipe. Let's find out exactly what prayer is. And then as we begin to go into the series on worship, once we are praying and we're seeking God, and then we can worship him in freedom. We can worship him in joy. And we can worship him in love. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to pray. We thank you because you've opened up the windows of heaven and rained blessings on us. Lord, we pray that you would allow us to open up our hearts, that we receive that rain, that we receive that taste for prayer. Lord, that we receive, Lord, the purpose in our hearts. That when we come to you, we come to you with expectation. We come to you believing that you'll do what you said. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.